The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
So good morning and welcome, ladies and gentlemen who are in our listening audience. My name is Peter James, and I want to welcome you to another edition of Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. This is a very special edition today, as we are going to be doing something very unique with our co-hosts. And our co-hosts are Miss Anne, Miss Ursula, Miss Pagin, and of course our distinguished host, who I'm stealing the mic from today, Mr. Galen. And we're going to start off today's session by asking each of them to introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about themselves, and why it's important for you to be here in this type of format. So we're going to start off with Miss Ursula. Miss Ursula, the mic is yours as you look to begin to tell us about why this Think and Grow Rich Mastermind is such a great thing for you. Thank you.
Good morning. And I am Ursula Odom, and I'm the CEO of Sula 2. And we make old new in everything we do. In that, we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible. I love the story. I love the legacy of the average and ordinary person turn extraordinary, because my thought about the individual story is that Barack Obama's story was just another family story until he became president. You have no idea who's in your family tree. It could be you, or it could be your child, or it could be your great, great nephew, you know, our niece. So the point is, all stories are important stories as they are lived and remembered by the people that care about those individuals. And then those individuals become a part of our cultural history, and over time, world history. That's how it's made. And I have the pleasure of running a company that sit down with the average and ordinary person and just listen to what they have to say. And I enjoy that so much, because I love finding those nuggets of things that they've taken for granted all those years. And how I even started is that I came home from college one day and I sat at my grandmother's feet and I said, Grandma, tell me the stories that you used to tell me. And she did, because I had heard those stories over and over and over and over again over the years, but all of a sudden they had a fascination for me and I wanted to capture them. And she humored me. She sat and she told me these stories, and I recorded them on this. The technology of the time is just amazing. But it cracked and hissed and did all kinds of crazy stuff. But I sat there and she told me those stories, and aunts and uncles and chickens and everything else got in on that recording. So it was just a fun day. But that day has defined who I am. And it started when I was a little girl, 5 years old. I crawled under my grandmother's bed, and I pulled out a box with photographs and stories and letters and the lock of her sister's hair, and that is who I am. I love those things. And why is that relevant? Because those are the building blocks of the future. Those are the life lessons learned by people over the years that now can position you to move forward, because you don't have to start with where they start. You pick up where they left off. That's what I love. That's who Sula Tu, yeah, and that's who Ursula is.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing, Ursula. You've gotten us off to a fast start. I'm taking it all in. I'm super excited about where this is going. But we have more people to talk to. So thank you so much once again. And we are going to talk with another one of our great hosts here that we do on, that we have on a regular basis. And that is Ms. Pagin. And Pagin, you are a dynamo. Early in the morning, in the middle of the day, and late in the afternoon, Pagin, can you take the mic and tell us who you are?
I will, and I'm excited because talking about the converge excites me in a way that I cannot be controlled. So I work with women in leadership and business who want to be brave, be bold, be seen, and be heard while being paid well in the process. And I do this through speaking and coaching and Power Women Global online membership programs and trainings. I teach them to lead, sell, grow, and kick their own butt. And why this is so critically important, why do I do what I do, and how does this apply to Think and Grow Rich? At 17, Think and Grow Rich was a book that was given to me. At that point in my life, I was a gang member. My sister was the local junkie and prostitute, and I had already been kicked out of my first high school and was in a very wonderful special second high school, and somebody there gave me the book Think and Grow Rich, and I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know about that I could change my life, that I can make a focused, clear, faithful, persistent decision that would change my life. And at 17 and a half, I stood in front of Jack's Candy Store, and I looked tough from the outside with my cigarette and my gang jacket and my bandana on my head. But in my heart, I knew, in my heart and in my head, I knew that there was something more for me. I had already begun the process of Think and Grow Rich. I knew that there was something more to me. And I actually had a vision of a TV with a talking head, you know, somebody that was smart and was giving opinions. And I knew I was supposed to do that. I didn't know what that was. I had no clue about it. But I knew that I had a creative plan. And my first plan was get out of the gang, get out of the country, so that the gang wouldn't find me. And like Ursula has said, you know, your history is so important. My family was Hispanic, so I really wanted to learn Spanish because I did not speak well at all. So I chose Spain, and by the time I was 23, I opened three businesses and sold them at a profit. So Think and Grow Rich is part of my soul and who I am, and it's easy to forget it. So this, every week, mastermind that we have of listening, learning, reading, and evolving is elevating me to a whole another place. And I'm one of the few speakers that has been in the $1 Million Speakers Roundtable. So there you go.
Awesome. Awesome. I love, thank you so much for sharing, Pagin, first and foremost. I love the fact that both of our co-hosts so far have done a great job of telling us about pivotal times in their lives and how that's impacted them. Now, Think and Grow Rich kind of fits into that whole mold. So, Pagin, thank you so much for sharing that. But without further ado, next on deck is our distinguished host here, who, again, I'm stealing the mic from this week, Mr. Galen. Can you take it back from me and tell me a little bit about yourself and how Think and Grow Rich has impacted you just overall? Thank you so much.
Yeah, so Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, a 30-year veteran of corporate America, and I help executives lead when it matters most. And this has really been a life-changing experience for me, and very much like a lot of people that I talk to, I was just busy doing my thing, living my career, and working in corporate America, and had a lot of fun in front of groups, leading, teaching, that kind of thing. Ended up joining the NSA, National Speakers Association, and one of the things that one of the groups was doing, the Black NSA was doing, was going through Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, that was a book that's always been on my bookshelf, and I read it, I think, 20 years ago, because I heard people say that every intelligent person needs to have that book on their bookshelf. So it was on my bookshelf. And I could say that I read it, and if anyone asked me about it, I had like one or two lines that committed to memory that I could throw out to kind of check the box of being an educated person. But I had not studied it. I didn't realize that it was a book that required studying. And once I got into it as part of the group mastermind process, it really started to mess with me, because the things that it was challenging me to do would really kind of stick with me a lot longer than some of the other books that I'd read that were sitting on my bookshelf. And the leader, the mastermind behind the mastermind, was saying, you know, yeah, you know, you really need to play hard, you know, really do the activities. Don't just kind of do them. Really do the activities. And I really did the activities. I set goals for myself to achieve during that period. And I'd be doggone if I didn't start achieving those goals faster than what I even thought was possible. And through that entire process, I just really became convinced that this book really does capture how one goes about becoming a success. And Napoleon Hill even says that, yeah, I mean, he says that, you know, this book is about becoming rich and monetarily rich, but this is really the process for achieving anything of value. And I have put that to the test so many times. And now I'm at a point where I don't even question it. There is a difference between belief and faith. And if my daughter builds a chair and she says, "Daddy, I've built this chair for you, and I've tested it. It's absolutely going to hold you up, and I've built this for you." I believe my daughter, and I believe that she's done it. And I'm going to tentatively sit on the chair with belief that my daughter has tested it and that things are going to more than likely work out. But faith is when I walk in the room and I sit in the chair and I'm not even thinking about it. I just have faith that it's going to happen. And I think the same is true for my approach and appreciation for this book. You know, I think the first couple of times I read through it, I had belief, because so many people had talked about this book. So many people had talked about how this book had changed their life, and they were clearly successful. So I had belief. But now I think I'm at a point where I've got faith. I don't even question it anymore. I pull to the principles, I pull to the concepts, and I just, when I'm facing something that I'm trying to achieve in my life, I just start thinking, which of those six steps am I going to double down on in order to make this a reality? The last thing that I'll leave you with is I'm a very, very big proponent of mindset. That mindset is at the key of accomplishing anything. And it's just so ironic and funny to me that the first word in the title of the book is think. That if you're going to grow rich, the thing you have to do first is you have to think, and you have to think the right way. And if you think the right way, then you will grow rich. And I'm just really excited about this show and to share with everyone what we usually talk about behind the scenes before we go live.
Galen, thank you. Wow, that was some deep stuff there that you got us kicked off with early on in the show, and I'm very excited. We've had three individuals who've spoken a little bit about themselves, tell us about what their mindset is all about. Galen, I'm very excited also because you mentioned someone who I think I know who it is, and you're right. I also call her the leader behind all leaders, and she is our next, also another distinguished host here on the show, Miss Ann, I'm going to ask you to take the mic, introduce yourselves for those who already don't know you, but also tell us a little bit about who you are and how this Think and Grow Rich has affected your life wholeheartedly.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ann McNeil, the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives. And at 9 p.m. December 31st, 1979, I picked up a copy of this book and began to read it. And I've said often that as I began to read the book, it began to read me. And like many of us have talked about our journey, that was the beginning of my Think and Grow Rich journey. And I would like to challenge all of us to think about your journey and the lives that are waiting for your vision, your mission, your purpose. And think about what is it that you must do as you think and grow rich in working on your particular goals. Because it's like there are people who will hear my voice, but only my voice. But for each and every one of us that's listening to this, there are individuals who will only hear your voice. So this process of thinking and growing richer in every area of our lives, and I think Galen mentioned it earlier, yes, for me it was about the money drawing me in to understand how to make the money. But what I began to learn over time is that it was more important for me to begin to learn how to make the money make money, and then how to teach others how to do the same. Because I believe that we're pulled in by the money, but then we begin to realize it is in the teaching that we're able to disseminate to others what we're learning. So, for me, for this Think and Grow Rich process, it has been a phenomenal journey, and it is a journey for us. It is not a destination. And so as we grow every single day in every single way, it really begins to focus our attention on your desire. I'd like to read something as we prepare to start the show today, which I think summarizes a lot of what we're going to talk about, and it's actually the beginning chapter of the Mastermind chapter, which is on page 181, going into next week's show. But I just like to read it for the edification of those who are listening, and as we start to kick off the show today. And it says, "The power of the mastermind, the ninth step to riches, the driving force. Persistence creates faith. From faith comes power. And power is essential for success in the accumulation of riches. Money alone are inert and useless without sufficient power to translate them into action. This chapter will describe the method by which an individual may attain and apply power. Power may be defined as organized and intelligently directed knowledge. Power, as the term is here used, refers to organized effort sufficient to enable an individual to transmute desire into money. Organized effort is produced through the coordination of effort of two or more people who work toward a definite end in a spirit of harmony. Power is required for the accumulation of money. Power is necessary for the retention of money after it has been accumulated." And I wanted to just start off by sharing that because we are a mastermind group as we come on this show every single Saturday. And we share every single one of these items that this chapter is talking about as we wrap up the chapter on persistence. We are learning that as long as we are persistent and going back to Gabriel's example of faith, we are creating a stronger faith. And that faith, the stronger it becomes very powerful. But that power must be directed in an organized and intelligent manner. And that allows us to create more and more and more money. But what use is it if we accumulate the money, but then we don't learn how to keep it and how to make it grow? So that's another story for another day. But that is my introduction for who I am and what I do as a professional, a licensed general contractor. I build people and I build lives. I have four different businesses, MCO Construction, MCO Consulting, Constructive Speaking, and, of course, the International Mastermind Association. And my desire, though, is to help individuals, especially entrepreneurial women, to have greater clarity in their highest income-producing areas of their life and their business. That's who I am, and that's what I do.
Ms. Ann, wow. Thank you so much for diving in on Think and Grow Rich. Thank you so much for diving in on your story. Thank you so much for just extrapolating what this entire show is all about to a certain degree. And I think you kind of encapsulated a lot of it in just what you just provided for us right there. We're going to go to a commercial break shortly, but before I do, I want to definitely introduce myself also. My name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach, and I'm a business professor, business and entrepreneurship professor. I'm also a keynote speaker, but I'm primarily, as I mentioned earlier, I am an executive and business coach, allowing people to achieve whatever their next level is in life and or the career and or business. But before we go to this commercial break, I just want to tell you a little bit about why this Think and Grow Rich book is so important to me. And as I look over the book right now and I'm looking at the chapters and I'm trying to say, you know, where do I start to tell the audience, the listeners about this book, and where do I finish at? And there's so much content that I can't even just stick on one place. But Galen started out and said a little something earlier about mindset. And the mindset is so important, because there are two types of people in this world. And this is another book I'm going to reference. It's Carol Dweck's book called Mindset. And in that book, she references two different types of people: an individual who has a fixed mindset, an individual who has a growth mindset. That fixed mindset person is actually the majority of people in this world who are somewhat closed-minded to new experiences, somewhat closed-minded to new opportunities and stretching themselves beyond their comfort zone. They look at failure as just a limit of their abilities. They say when they're frustrated, I'm done, I give up. Feedback is somewhat of a threat to them, and they kind of say to themselves, I'm either good at it or I'm not. But the growth mindset individual sees things in a totally different light, sees failure as an opportunity just to grow. They see challenges as more ways to watch themselves grow. They like to try new things. And that difference between the fixed and the growth mindset is what I kind of see bleeds right over into this Think and Grow Rich. In this book, of course, Napoleon Hill provides us these steps to riches. But these steps to riches begin in your mind and how you think. And as a result of how you think, and there's to a certain extent, you have to control what you think, control what goes on in your mind, and that will ultimately lead to success as you define it. So whether it is through auto-suggestion, whether it is by addressing your subconscious mind, the affirmations that we talk about, the masterminds that you've been hearing about already in our short time here, all of these play a role into you accomplishing whatever that stretch goal is, whatever that pinnacle dream is you have in your head. And trust me, you can do it. You can achieve it. You have to think it first, but then you really have to execute on it thereafter. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Before I do one more thing before we go on commercial break, if you are listening in right now and you want to dial in with a question, the number is 1-800-554-9219 and then hit number 1, and you will be queued up to be able to ask a question to our distinguished panelists. All right, now to our first commercial break. Thank you so much.
Number 1 is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step 2 is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step 3 is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number 4 is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step 6, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought. We go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Gold, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter, had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12,
which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are back to another edition of Think and Grow Rich Mastermind, Level Up for Success with Persistence. And in this week's session, we have a unique opportunity to dive into our normal and usual co-host. So those of you who have listened before, you know we usually have a special guest that comes in, and then we as co-hosts, we ask questions of this individual to kind of dive in to see how they are using Think and Grow Rich for their careers, for their businesses, and how they have turned it into success. But now today, we are going to put our co-host on the hot seat. Our co-hosts have now turned into panelists. We're talking about Miss Ursula, Miss Pagin, Mr. Galen, and Miss Ann. All are going to be asked specific questions from the persistence chapter of Think and Grow Rich. And I'm so excited about it already because I've heard so much in just the short time that we've been on already. So without further ado, I'm going to toss out our first question to Ms. Ursula and our panelists. So in this text of Think and Grow Rich, in this persistence chapter, you know, Napoleon Hill, Ursula, he goes into a lot of different concepts, a lot of different factors, and this persistence chapter is no different. On page 168 of the text, he talks about 8 factors of persistence. They are the definiteness, of purpose, desire, self-reliance, definiteness of plans, accurate knowledge, cooperation, willpower, and habit. So I want to toss out to our panelists, which of these 8 factors of persistence resonates the most? And I know, if you guys know, we have some speakers on here, so they're gonna give us all the details that kind of resonates for them. Ms. Ursula, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, so when I think in terms of Think and Grow Rich, and specifically this chapter, I am really pleased to find out that something I have been called all my life, I am renaming. I have been called hard-headed. From the time I was a child until now, is because if I set my mind on something, it is hard to get it off. And now I realize that that is part of persistence, just sticking with something that you believe in until you either decide that it's not going to work or that it's worth going forward with it. Now, oddly enough, though, when I look at this chapter, it's going to sound strange, but the other problem that I have when it comes to the lack of persistence is decision. I can make a quick decision, but because I have just enjoyed the process of learning different things just to prove that I can do it, then I tend to do different things. And it looks like, okay, oh, I haven't decided if I'm going to do A, B, C, or D, or whatever. And at first, I thought that was a problem. But as I look back over it, all of those things that I learned actually funneled into where I am right now. Being a computer person, being a history person, being someone that liked to talk to people, all of those things came together. Being a task-oriented person, those are all who I bring. I mean, those pieces of me and those indecisive appearing moments are now the part of a major decision of being who I am, and that is someone that will gather all of that information and turn it into something productive using all of those skills. And I'm pretty hard-headed about it. Now, as you know, earlier when we talked about how the book affected me, I missed that part in my introduction. But Think and Grow Rich has actually been a part of my life on the periphery for quite some time. When I was in corporate America, I really gravitated toward a book called Games Mother Never Taught You. So I missed the whole wave of the entrepreneurship and all of that with Think and Grow Rich. And then I was married to Isaac McLemore, and to some that will mean a lot and to others that won't, but he was a mastermind of him, I mean, with this whole process as well. And I was in a support role during that time. And I heard it, didn't mean anything to me. I had a book that was frayed around the edges. Gave that book away to somebody as a gift once. I actually got my new book with Anne McNeil. I gave a book away that was so old it should have been wrapped in cellophane or something. But when it really started speaking to me is when I started with the mastermind group with Anne McNeil and the Black NSA. And there was something in here that really, really, really hit home for me. And that is part of the self-confidence formula. And when Galen said, you have to change the way you think, this is when I changed the way I thought. And then the first thing it says is, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. So that promise is to me. I promise to be persistent and to continue toward the goal that I have set. And now I see myself and my purpose as helping people get that story out. There are so many stories that are just going poof as far as history is concerned, lost forever. And every day we take them in black and white hearses to places that will lock away those stories. And I am capturing them as quickly and spreading the word as far and wide as I can that we need to hold on to those stories because they are the foundation of who we become in the future, who we leave behind, what motivation, how much of a struggle they have to go through. So Think and Grow Rich has taught me to think differently. And the richest part, we'll talk about that because there's some good things happening there too. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, Ursula. I truly appreciate it and identifying that definiteness of purpose that you have there. Again, you are up on deck, and I want to kind of ask you a little bit about that question as well. Which of those eight factors on page 168 kind of resonates the most for you as you look at this text? And I'm just dying to see what you extrapolate from this text for our audience.
So I am looking at this, and the one that has jumped out to me is self-reliance. Belief in one's ability to carry out a plan encourages one to follow the plan through persistence. And my cohorts know that I'm a planner, that I'm like always looking at the agenda and how we're going to plan it out and how many minutes it's going to take. And I've been like that. I have a photo album that I carry with me everywhere. It's 30 years old. It's what I call my dream book. And inside there, I placed over 30 years ago very concrete goals that I had for myself. And I used visuals, pictures, and I have words. And every quarter I always look at it to remind me where I'm going. And that led me to, I always take courses to help solidify my business plan. So every three years I go through a very a deep strategic plan for my business that breaks up where I'm going, who my clients are, how I'm going to get there. And I actually am looking at it right now as I keep it on my desk. I break it down to my dashboard, my sales projections, very specifically the goals and how I'm going to be doing what I need to do to get where I want to be. And I keep it on my desk because I use it on a daily basis to look at, and then I transfer to my daily to-do sheet what is one thing out of the plan that I can do today that just helps me stay very, very focused. You know, and it may be something so simple as making a phone call that day or writing a blog post or something. It doesn't need to be, I don't need to fill my whole day doing a lot of stuff. I do know that time ticks by. I do know that it is my responsibility to carry out the plan, right? It's my responsibility to know what it is. And that covers all of my life and all aspects of my life. And for me, my life is about, and I teach the women that I work with, that they have to have a plan of, you know, what is your income-producing activity? What is your business goals? What is your health goals? What is it for your relationship? What is it for your exercise? What is it for your spiritual goals? What is it for your life expansion? And so using those areas, how do you then make sure that you're self-reliant to at least achieving something? You know, and for me, I had to take care of my health. Because even though I had written it out, even though it's in my plan for 30 years of what I wanted, and even though I've known forever that I wanted to be vegan, ever, I knew that I was made to be a rabbit and eat rabbit food. It took me challenges and for me to be bold and to be brave enough and to be focused enough to say, this is my life, this is my choice, this is how I choose to do it. And, you know, I became vegan, and my health numbers, everything has changed dramatically because of that. And it is that self-reliance. It is the belief in my ability, in one's ability to carry out a plan. You have to believe that you could do one thing a day. You have to believe that you can make one commitment to yourself. You have to believe that you can make one declaration and stick to it and carry out. Because the bottom line is, nobody else is going to do it for you anyway. If you don't declare it, then nobody else is going to line up to be your fans, your supporters, your guides, your assistants, your mentors, your mastermind. Because people want to be with people that have a declaration and a definiteness of purpose. And that's what I have to say. So self-reliance is my word for the day.
Self-reliance. I like that, Ms. Pagin. Thank you so much for sharing that with our audience. Wow. Wow, that's a very good one. I kind of love that one as well. Galen, you are next on deck with this question, one of the eight factors of persistence. Which one kind of jumps off the page to you and kind of resonates with who you are, Galen?
Yeah, you know, so I can identify with all eight, right? And there are times when I feel each of them jumping out at me. But the one that continues to haunt me every time I look at this page, every time I read this chapter, there's one that haunts me, and that's number eight. That's habit. Because it says that persistence is the direct result of habit, and your mind absorbs and becomes part of your daily experiences upon which it feeds. So there is a quote that I read on the back of a coffee shop wall almost 25 years ago, and it was attributed to Aristotle, and I've now learned that it's probably more likely that it's someone else that said it, but the quote was, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. So it really doesn't matter what you call yourself. What you do determines who you really are, right? If you call yourself a giver, but you never give anything, then you're not a giver. If you call yourself honest and truth and truth worthy, but you frequently tell lies, you are not honest and truth worthy. So if you call yourself someone that's pursuing excellence, but you're frequently taking shortcuts, you're frequently looking for another route other than the prescribed route. If you are, in a phrase that I've fallen in love with, if instead of pursuing the real thing, you're comfortable with something similar to, then you are not in pursuit of excellence. So habit is usually the area that when I am not achieving the level of success that I'm shooting for, then it's usually found within my habits. And this, to me, also is a shout out to mindset. Again, I mean, there's a level of discipline that's required for you to be habitual in pursuing those things that you say that you are about. You know, in my corporate life, in my corporate experience, I've had the honor of working with amazing people and really helping brilliant executives achieve their goals and do some just incredible things for their organizations and for their families. One person that I had the opportunity to meet was Ulysses Junior Bridgman, who, legendary basketball NBA star. He was a first round draft pick in 1975 and played for 12 years in the NBA. Just amazing in the sport of basketball. And then he transitioned from basketball and he became an incredible business executive. He owned businesses. He turned around Wendy's concepts. I met him when he became the CEO and owner of Coca-Cola Heartland, which is a geographical bottler for the Coca-Cola system. That's how I came to know him personally. And I asked him, I said, you know, Mr. Bridgman, what advice would you give to someone who either aspires to have the kind of success that you've had in two different industries, or what advice would you give to your younger self at the very, very beginning of your career? And he said something to me, again, that has just continued to haunt me. He said, you know, Galen, in order to have this kind of success, you've got to do what you love, not what you think you can make money doing. Because in order to have the kind of success that I'm enjoying right now, you've got to not only be willing, you've got to be eager about spending 19, 20, 21 hours a day perfecting your craft, building your business, thinking about your business. And if you think of that as work, then you're not going to have the kind of success that I've had. You've got to enjoy that kind of persistence as it pertains to developing whatever craft that you're saying, whatever business that you're saying that you're in pursuit of. And for me, that again is another shout out to the habit. You've got to build a habit that's consistent with the life that you say that you're trying to live, that you're trying to lead. So for me, that's the one step that catches me when I find that the path that I'm on is inconsistent with the path that that I'd like to be on.
Awesome, Galen. Thank you so much for sharing that. Wow, habit. I love how Napoleon Hill says in the text about habits, the mind absorbs and becomes a part of the daily experiences upon which it feeds. And that's huge right there. What are we putting into our minds? What are we repeating, as Galen just mentioned there? Something really for us to think about. So, Ms. Ann, I got this question for you as well. Which of these eight factors resonates for you? And I'm sure you got a little story for us on this one. So thank you so much in advance for sharing.
Now, we can take mine or we can take the question. It appears as though someone has a question.
Awesome, awesome. So it looks like someone may have a question on the group, and that question is coming from, I'm not sure.
Okay, the phone number is 5498. Your mic is open. You have a question or comment?
Good morning. I had a comment. This is Tyleen Henry out of Michigan. I want to thank everybody for what they've shared so far, because I think this was very good that I chimed in this morning. I've been following and studying Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich for a few years now. And one of the things that I'm learning, in addition to having persistence towards my definite purpose and my definite goal, is I have to be persistent about the way I approach these principles. And that even if sometimes I'm distracted, you know, having a opportunity to listen to others that are on this journey can help me to regain my momentum when it comes to my studies, and understanding that I can't just do one of the things, like this is the formula and all of the pieces have to be done. And so one of the opening comments on faith, and you talked about the chair, and if your daughter built the chair, you know, you're confident that you can sit down in it, but there are certain things that you don't even think about. And it helped me to feel good about the progress that I've made as I'm studying these principles, because, you know, no longer am I, you know, worried about if it's going to happen. I just know that it's about when it's going to, you know, when is that it's going to happen. I don't know when, but I know that the desires of my heart and what I have my aim focused on is going to happen. And it's just a matter of being very persistent, and that these pieces of having a mastermind, having, you know, an outlet like this show to listen to and get other people's aha moments and the pieces that stand out, they really help to pull all those pieces of puzzle together. Because if it was that easy, everybody would be rich. Everyone would have everything that they want. It's not hard, but it is something that you have to be organized, and you have to have that mindset of abundance. And when he brought up athletes, the athlete that had success in athletics and success in business, when you look at all of these pieces of the eight factors of persistence, if you play sports growing up and you kind of already have all of these things loosely in place, but if you mix that with someone who knows definitely what they want to do and they are fulfilling each one of these eight principles, those are the folks that go on to be professional athletes. And then they can apply those same principles to business and other areas of their life in which they experience success. So that was kind of an aha moment that came up to me. And then for him to mention the gentleman who had been in sports and had crossed over into other areas of business and experienced success, it was just kind of confirmation for me that I was on the right path. So I just wanted to say thanks, everybody, for your contributions this morning. It's really been beneficial to me, where I'm at in my journey right now, to be able to, you know, be in such good company. So thank you.
All right. Thank you so very much. Now to my question.
Thank you, Ms. Ann.
Ann McNeil. Yes. Of the eight factors, and for those who are listening in and wondering what we're talking about, I'm just going to read the eight. The first one is the definiteness of purpose, knowing what you want. Number two is desire. It is comparatively easy to acquire and to maintain persistence in pursuing the object of intense desire. Number three is self-reliance. Belief in one's ability to carry out a plan encourages one to follow that plan through with persistence. Number four is definiteness of plans. Organized plans, even though they may be weak and entirely impractical, encourage persistence. Number five, accurate knowledge. Knowing that one's plans are sound based upon experience or observation encourages persistence. Guessing instead of knowing destroys persistence. Number six, cooperation. sympathy, understanding, and harmonious cooperation with others tend to develop persistence. Number 7 is willpower, the habit of concentrating one's thought upon the building of plans for the maintenance of a definite purpose leads to persistence. Number 8, habit. Persistence is the direct result of habit. The mind absorbs and becomes a part of the daily experiences upon which it feeds. Fear, the worst of all enemies, can be effectively cured by forced repetition of acts and courage. Everyone who has seen active service in war knows this. For me, the first one that resonates with me, I think more than any of the others, is number 1, definiteness of purpose. And I believe that that resonates with me because in the beginning of my experience with this book, my definiteness of purpose was to save $1,000 back in 79 when I read the book for the first time. But I could not save the $1,000 until I dealt with the fact that I had a lot of debt I had to get rid of, and then I had to have a mechanism by which to begin making more money and saving. And so for me, this definiteness of purpose, knowing what I want, is first. And then the most important step toward the development of persistence, a strong motive, forces one to surmount many difficulties. And the journey, my journey, and the surmounting of difficulties in the early years, I just had to continue to hold on to that definiteness of purpose of that $1,000. And I say that now because even though I look back in retrospect, it is amazing how, and somebody mentioned it earlier, about the whole mastermind process and the concept of being held accountable. And I can clearly say that if I did not have a mastermind group of individuals who were willing to hold me accountable, not once a year, not once a month, not even once a week, but almost on a daily basis, I would have never achieved the goals. And, of course, those goals change over time, but that definiteness of purpose has always kind of stood out, even though the amount changed over the years, but it was still a matter of being persistent in that definiteness of purpose. So that would be it for me, Peter.
Thank you so much, Ms. Ann, for sharing. That was phenomenal. I also love that definiteness of purpose. That really screams that having the correct mindset in order to move forward. We have had some great questions. We're going to get ready to go to a commercial break. After the commercial break, we're going to jump over into talking about the Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting. Ms. Ann's going to tell us a little bit about that. But then we're going to ask a final question. I'm going to ask everybody to share how to get in touch with them, number one, but then also number two, how they are actively developing persistence in their careers or their business today. So without further ado, let's go ahead and head into this commercial break.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
All right, we are back. And Ms. Anna, I'm going to ask and invite you back to the mic, if you don't mind, to really briefly talk about our Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting. Afterwards, I'm going to ask everybody to jump in and talk about how people can get in touch with them and also talk about how they're developing persistence in their own lives. But Ms. Anna, tell us about this annual event, if you would.
Absolutely. Every year, I'd like to suggest that all of us should consider and Sakine talked about it earlier when she talked about the book that she has, the goals that she set. And even though she looks at it periodically, she has it on her desk. My question to everybody who's listening is, who's holding you accountable for whatever goals you said? Are those goals in writing? Where do you go? Where's that place that you go for accountability on what you said? And that's what our desire is in the creation of an annual meeting. This is not a conference. It is an annual meeting for your life. And I like to suggest to people, consider yourself as a publicly traded corporation. Every year, publicly traded corporations create an annual report for the stockholders. And they go over what's working well, what's not working well, and what are the projections for the future for that company. And once the stockholders receive that report, they make a determination whether or not they're going to hold, sell, or buy more shares in that corporation. And my question to all of us is this. If you are a publicly traded corporation, would your stockholders buy, hold, or sell your stock based upon what you said you were going to do and whether or not you did it? So every year in January, the first Saturday in January, we're hosting an annual meeting of accountability at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Boca Raton, Florida. And the details are on our website at internationalmasterminders.com, and you can get the details there. Also on Eventbrite, if you go to Thinking for a Rich annual meeting. And that's it for the annual meeting. Peter, where how people can reach me, I always prefer to give out my cell number because that's the best way. I don't have a problem with people reaching out to me through my cell. That number is 786-546-0184. My number again is 786-546-0184. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ann, for sharing that. You are better than me for doing that. So I truly appreciate that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to dive into our panelists one more time. I want them to share with the audience how they can get in touch with you. I also want you to kind of give us some parting thoughts for the audience and how you're actually developing persistence in your own career and business, because that may resonate with someone who's listening and they may want to borrow your idea in order to incorporate that into their lives. So first, without further ado, Ms. Ursula, we are going to get you kicked off. How do people get in touch with you and how are you actively developing persistence in your life? And let me piggyback on that last one about actively developing persistence. That is from page 173 of the text that talks about four different ways that we can actively develop persistence. And it may be a little bit of a variance on it, but Ms. Ursula, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, you can get a hold of me best by my website, because I'd like you to go there and see some of the things that I do. because I haven't even mentioned the legacy walls that I've gotten a lot of press about recently, and I portray Mary McLeod Bethune. It's all about telling the story in one way or another, and that's sulatoo.com, sulatoo.com. And following my leader's lead, 813-368-1628, 813-368-1628. How I'm incorporating persistence in my life is that, and this is going to sound simple, but when working through a particular task, a lot of times I have, when putting together a book, there's like a series of things that I have to do that are monotonous if I'm doing it myself, as opposed to having another team member do it. And just to stick with it, I say, okay, I'm not going to quit until I do all of this function. I'm not stopping in the middle. I'm just going to go on rote and just get it all done. And there is a great sense of accomplishment when I do that, but I also realize that you have economy of thought, meaning that you don't have to rethink where you are, what you're doing, how you need to get to the next step, because you're doing the same thing over and over again, and you perfect it. You get better at it. You get faster at it. You make it happen in better ways. And so I take that to thinking about Think and Grow Rich. And I think Tagim or someone mentioned it earlier, if I just make it a rote, oh, maybe it was Talene Henry, but if I just keep doing the things I need to do relative to what Think and Grow Rich says I need to do, and just maybe pick one thing and just do that over and over and over and over again, then I'll get better at it. It'll become, it'll happen faster. And I can say that I'm actually doing that because recently I put together some proposals and I did the same things as I should have. But I noticed after the fact that they ended up with the same monetary amount. And I said, oh, okay. And they were different projects. And I realized that that was the level at which I was confident that I could produce the value without question. Was it what I was worth? No. But that scale had moved up because I knew that I was persistent. I was confident in my ability to deliver that without question. And they will get far more than what they pay for. But it's far more than what I had been charging before. So I hope that makes some sense to you because I'm so all in my head right now. And that's where...
Thank you so much.
That's what Think and Grow Rich does. It causes me to become introspective as it relates to what I deliver and how I view my interaction with the rest of the world in terms of the services that I provide. And that's where I am with that.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Ursula. I really heard that definite purpose and that definite plan out of all of that. So, Tagim, how do people get in touch with you, and how are you actively developing persistence in your life?
So people can get in touch with me two ways. They can go to Tagim, PEGINE.com, and they can go to powerwomen.global. So it's powerwomen, period, global, GLOBAL. If they put their name there, they will receive a free copy of my book called Lead and Think Big, which is a book with the thoughts that powerful, inspiring people need to be thinking and saying to themselves. We've talked about persistence. We've talked that you have to build faith, and faith is built on auto-suggestion. And the book Lead and Think Big has the thoughts you want to think so you can be bold, brave, brilliant, and be seen and be heard. And that's what I want for people. And for me, how to develop persistence is number three, a mind closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, including negative suggestions of relatives, friends, and acquaintances. I am so clear that you have to have a steel vault in your head, that you take your dreams and your goals and you lock them down and you fill your head with, you become your cheerleader. And those that are negative, those that are giving you warnings are usually people who haven't done what you have and don't know how to do it anyway. And usually people that they don't know your path. And so you have to have a steel cage around your brain and your heart and fall deeply in love with yourself please everybody. Write love letters to yourself, stick in the mail, and you will receive it back to you. Send yourself flowers. Why not? It's saying that, oh, gorgeous one, I love you. Anonymous. And I got to tell you, it lifts you up, makes you realize, yes, I am the one for me. I'm perfect exactly as I am. And open the doors, because here I come. That's what I have to say about that.
Again, again, you love you some you, don't you?
It's taken me many, many years of persistence to fall in love with myself. Because here's the bottom line. If you don't love yourself, if you can't see your greatest qualities, if you're not your greatest cheerleader, nobody else can see it either.
Right.
And
absolutely.
If you, you know, at nighttime, early in the morning, the only thoughts you have are yours. They're what fill your brain. And if those thoughts aren't loving, empowering, inspiring to you, then you get caught up with everybody's negativity and everybody's other stuff, or even the world at large. And I got to tell you, the biggest gift we can give ourselves is an investment in loving ourselves and taking care of ourselves and making the realization that no one can do it for you. You can do it. Are the only one that can do it for you. You're the only one. And so you have to take the time. So, yeah,
awesome.
Tell everybody to go and get their free book at powerwomen.global, G-L-O-B-A-L, and so they can fall in love with themselves.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much for sharing. That was phenomenal. Definitely resonates with me for sure. Galen, you are on deck. Tell us, tell the audience how they can get in touch with you, number one, but also tell us how you are actively developing this persistence thing in your life.
Well, absolutely. Well, hey, there are several ways you can get a hold of me. Number one, if you want to give me a call, I will step up to the challenge. You can give me a call at 314-884-0653. Again, 314-884-0653. Would love to have a conversation with you. Would love to help you work through your biggest opportunities or your most daunting challenges, because I enjoy helping executives lead when it matters most, in whatever capacity that might be. If you want to set up a coaching relationship, kind of expensive, but I'm there for you. If you want a free opportunity to get connected with anything that I'm doing, definitely log on and subscribe to my free podcast at Leadership Toolbox, wherever podcasts are consumed, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, basically any place that you might. If you send up a smoke signal and say, I need help leading more effectively, I'm probably going to find you. So that's how you get a hold of me. My website is galenbingham.com. So GalenBingham.com. And, I'll tell you of the four strategies for developing persistence listed on page 174, the one that I try to really focus on for me is number three, having a closed mind tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, very similar to Begin, because I tend to be a sensor. I tend to sense what's going on around me, and it's very easy for me to get sucked into trying to help people fix whatever problems they're going through, because that's my heart. And so it's really, really important that I stay focused on the positive things that I'm trying to achieve and trying to accomplish. One of the things that I talk about a lot with corporations is my love for 1970s and 1980s detective. The greatest detective in all of television detectives is a character played by Peter Falk from 1968 to 2003. He played Lieutenant Columbo. And this is very consistent with the caller that called in earlier. There was never a question as to whether or not Columbo was going to get the bad guy. That was never in question. The only question was how. And so we would watch the entire episode trying to figure out how was he going to get the bad guy. And there's a meme on social media that says that if Columbo asks you 5 questions in a row, get comfortable that you're probably the killer, right? Because the question was, how was he going to, what was the thing that was going to be the trigger that was going to allow him to catch the bad guy? But the question was never if. And so that's what I try to hold on to. My success is never in question. The success of my clients is never in question. The only thing that is in question is how will we get there? What will be the thing that will finally turn on the pilot light that will lead to the fire that will be our ultimate destiny? And so that's what I really try to focus on. I'll leave you with this. One of the first quotes that I ever developed as a mantra, and it stayed with me for almost 40 years now, was a book that I stole from my dad's bookshelf. I think he's still looking for it. It was written in 1990, and it's called No Fault Negotiating by Len Liritz, and great book on the tactical skills for negotiating. But there was one line that I have committed to memory, and it hangs in the back of my mind almost every day, everywhere I go. And that line is, with all of my limitations, I am more than enough for any situation. And that's a mantra that dances in the back of my mind, and I try to hold true to that regardless of what's going on, regardless of how fear might try to tempt me into thinking that I might not be able to handle what I'm in. I try to hold tight for that, because the world is built on this concept of fear. If you turn on the television, every commercial is basically saying you're not enough, you're incomplete, you don't have the kind of life that you're supposed to have. If and only if you buy my product for $9.99 plus shipping and handling, will you have a shot at living the life you're supposed to have. Every politician is saying the world is not safe. There are others out there trying to tear down everything that you believe to be wholesome and true. If and only if you vote for me, approve my policy, sign off on my budget, will you have a chance at being safe. Everything around you is building on fear because they want what you have. They want you to give them something. And if you just roll out of bed on a Tuesday and think that you're going to achieve your goals, that has not proven to be true for me. I've got to work diligently on staying positive and not letting that negativity into my soul.
Wow, Galen, that was a lot there, man, for me to unpack there. It was a total, very, very, very thorough as it relates to developing this persistence. Thank you so much for the information on how to get in touch. Ms. Ann, you already shared with us really quick how to get in touch with you. However, I wanted to see if you had any final parting notes on this developing persistence, actively developing persistence thing.
Well, I may be a contrarian here in that I think I need all four. I need all four. Areas, the definiteness of purpose, a definite plan, a mind closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, and a friendly alliance with one or more persons who are holding me accountable to follow through with my plan and purpose. But what I'm learning, though, from these four is that I have to develop a specific project.
to be persistent about. For example, early on I talked about the goal, $1,000. But as I grow and my projects grow and my priorities grow, I am learning that I must create a persistence plan of all four of these for every project that I'm involved in. Because if I don't, I will find that I am not being as persistent as I could be specifically for each task. And I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but if any of you are listening, just think about one project that you're involved in. Doesn't matter whatever it is. And ask yourself the question, do you have a definite purpose for that project? Do you have a plan for that project? Is your mind closed to that project, for the project? Do you have an alliance with more than one individual to hold you accountable for that particular project? And I say that, Peter, because I am learning that my persistence wanes when I don't use all four of these for every project. And I'll give an example. I'm the founder of an organization called International Masterminders, this organization. But I'm also the founder of the National Association for Black Women in Construction. I'm also the founder of Constructive Speaking, which is my speaking business. But I'm also the founder of MCO Consulting, where I do compliance and outreach work for my clients. But I'm also the founder of MCO Construction and Services, which is my construction business. And if I don't use all four of these for every one of those businesses and the goals that I've achieved, and I'll use International Masterminders, there was a period of time I let this organization lapse, if you will. And I was not as persistent, and I did not have a mind closed to discouraging influences. My mind was very open to the negative. I did not really have a plan. And I did not have a group like all of you holding me accountable. And so what I'm learning through this persistence chapter is I have to be persistent in my focused areas, in my focused businesses, whether those businesses are for profit or if they are not for profit. If I wane in any of these four, the chances are my persistence will wane and my success will also wane. And so I will choose all four in saying that I really, now I'm learning that I have to use all four for every single area of my project. And that's it for me.
Thank you for sharing that. And wow, yeah, that's definitely, all four of them are for sure what we should be incorporating into our lives. And thank you all for sharing your contact information as well as which of these persistence concepts or steps falls in line with or resonates more with you for that matter. So really quickly about the close of the show, I want to provide some information about myself. Again, my name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach. How you can get in touch with me, I am not brave enough to share my cell phone number. However, I will share with you all of my social media handles, and you can reach me at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames on all social media platforms. You can also reach me at shiftyourmindset.com. That's shiftyourmindset.com or Dr. James, DrJames at shiftyourmindset.com. Yes, as it relates to these four steps here, these four steps to developing persistence, I have to piggyback on this, and all four are phenomenal. They are great. It is important that you incorporate all four of these in order to get consistency in your life, consistency towards your goals. But if one had to jump off the page and scream at me the most, I have to also go with number three, which is a mind closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences. Why, you might ask? Our minds, our brains have a tendency to go to the negative. Actually, studies are showing that we have a tendency to think negative. When we're not surrounded with positive influences, we're not utilizing affirmations in your life on a regular basis, our minds have a tendency to sway back to what can't be done, what shouldn't be done. It's impossible. Why you can't do this or why you shouldn't do that. Your mind just does that automatically. And again, as Galen had mentioned, the media, the news, politicians, television in general, the marketers, they have a tendency to tell you where you're wrong. And of course, you can buy into their concepts and buy into their products or services in order to achieve that. But you don't need that. You need to be able to get all that out of your head, to surround yourself with the right people, to read the best books such as Think and Grow Rich in order to incorporate positivity into your life. So you have to actually intentionally, focusedly, that's a new word, take out those negative influences in your life and remove them from your brain, remove that from your thinking intentionally. So ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you all for joining us here today with this great and very unique session of Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. I see there are no further questions, so we are going to bring this phenomenal show to a close. And without further ado, give our last commercial break a listen. And if you haven't purchased Think and Grow Rich Mastermind, or excuse me, the Think and Grow Rich text from Napoleon Hill, today is the day to begin this journey down this path. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.